Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Climbing the Ivy on the Fansided Network. This is your host, Alex Pat, alongside Adam McGinnis. We're also bringing Cody Delmendo back. He's been here many times before. We're happy to have him back on the show. The three of us are going to talk about the winter meetings. There's a lot to talk about in terms of rumors and speculations, but there's not really a lot to talk about action-wise for the Cubs. But hey, we got to talk about all this stuff eventually, so we'll talk about rumors and talks and stuff. There's a lot of, I don't know if it's legitimate concern, but there's a lot of people that are wondering really how much money the Cubs have to spend before they move anything. And we're hearing over and over that they're going to have to move some guys to create some room to spend. What does that mean for Bryce Harper? Well, we'll get into that. So let's welcome in our other two co-hosts. Cody, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good, man. It's good to be back. It's been a few months since I was back last time. I think it was like the middle of the summer when I thought the Cubs were at least going to make it out of the division.
Yeah, I think it has been that long. Adam, how are you today?
I'm alive, Alex. I'm alive.
Good. Good. I'm sorry, Cody, you were going to say something?
Yeah, go ahead. I completely forgot what I was going to say. I think it was probably along the lines of just remembering how confident most of us were. I believe Adam made a bet with you saying the Brewers were going to be like 8 games out at the end of August or something like that.
Oh, man.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess he was almost right.
At the end of August, it seemed like the Brewers were done, remember? And then, you know, we all know what happened. So,
so Adam.
Yeah.
Yes, Alex.
You gonna you gonna owe me something, huh?
Did we shake on it? Just kidding.
Well, I mean, we microphone shaked in a way. We didn't really physically do it, but, you know. Anyway,
I wouldn't do that. So,
later.
What do I owe you? $10? Is that what it is?
You can Venmo. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll give me your Venmo or your PayPal or whatever when this is done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's get into it, guys. Here we are in the off season. The GM meetings, the winter meetings, are underway. There's been some moves on the hot stove front all around baseball. Probably the biggest was Andrew McCutchen to the Phillies. So cross him off the possibility list for the Cubs. A few other moves around baseball. Lance Lynn signed, I think, with the Rangers. Tanner Roark signed with the Reds. Charlie Morton signed, I think, with Tampa Bay. So nothing really huge, but a few moves here or there. There's a lot of rumors going around, but let's talk about the Cubs. Right now, there's this whole talk about how they need to clear salary. And I kind of have listed out the salary for next year, what the Cubs are going to owe who. And, yeah, there's a lot of money going around next year. Just to get your guys' quick thoughts on it, do you guys see them moving a number of pieces just to clear salary?
I guess I'll start. I mean, I feel like they're going to at least try, because I feel like we'd be dumb to sit here and think that Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer aren't at least trying to maybe give it a shot. They're just being really quiet about it, maybe, just because we've known to see them do that before. But do I think that that's their number one priority right now? I don't think so. I think their number one priority at the moment is getting bullpen help. But I do think that clearing space to potentially maybe get Bryce Harper is on their list. It's just, I just don't think it's number one at the current moment.
Adam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm kind of inclined to agree with that. I don't think the Cubs be making or attempting to make trades based purely on clearing some salary. I just see them operating that way. I think that as much as they would love to have Bryce Harper, I just don't see them. I mean, that's too big of a gamble. That's too big of a risk to move all these players and clear all this salary space. And you're not even guaranteed to get him necessarily, even if you do that. So I think that, you know, they've got other needs on the team right now that go beyond getting somebody like Bryce Harper. And I think that, you know, like the bullpen will be more of a priority than clearing salary space right now.
Well, I think what makes this kind of interesting is the fact that there are these rumors that Harper wants the Cubs to go after him and that he'd be willing to wait out. Whether or not that's true, we don't know, but it is something that I think a lot of people think may be true. I don't know, but, you know, we've seen the whole thing. He's friends with Chris Bryant, you know, yada, yada. He's got the dog named Wrigley. I think that there may be some truth to it, but I'm not sure he's just going to hold out and not let money talk. I think it's just going to depend on if they make him a solid enough offer. I don't think Bryce Harper just could be like, yeah, I want to play for the Cubs. I'll take whatever. I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Do I think he would like to play for the Cubs? Sure. Would he be maybe willing to wait around a little bit? Sure. But if someone comes up to him with a huge offer, I don't think he's just going to be like, nah, I'm going to wait for the Cubs.
Well, and you know what? If the Cubs are being secretive about this, I don't think that's necessarily the wrong move. You know, I think it is pretty smart if that's what they're doing, because if Theo or Jed were to come out and say, yeah, we're going to do everything we can to clear some salary room to go after Bryce Harper, if they say that, what do you think if you're Jason Hayward or you're Ben Zobrist? You know, if you're one of those guys, you're thinking, oh crap, I'm out of here. And so I could see it from the perspective of the higher ups not wanting players on the team to feel like they're about ready to get sold down the river. That being said, I still don't think Bryce Harper is, you know, I don't see the Cubs as being the landing spot for him. I think there was reports that he was maybe more concerned with a higher AAV than getting a ton of years, and I'm not sure if that works in the Cubs' favor or not, to be honest with you.
Well, the issue is you have a lot of guys that are making over $20 million over the next few years, and just looking at 2019, I have the 2019 payroll right here. This is based on Spotrac.com. They're very, very reliable. Spotrac will give you all the information on people's salaries year by year, their entire contracts, team's entire payroll, and whatnot. So very reliable source of information here. And, I mean, you can pretty much verify the salaries on, like, Baseball Reference, too. So it is pretty accurate. So Lester is going to be making $27.5 million. He's going to be making the most. This includes the signing bonus because his base is 22.5. Hayward's going to be making 22.5 with the signing bonus. Darvish is going to be making 20 million. Hamels is going to be making 20 million. So your top four guys next year in salary are making 20 million or more. I mean, that's a lot. And then after that, you got Tyler Chatwood making 12.5, Zobrist making 12.5. Rizzo making just under 12 million and Quintana making 10.5. There's a lot of money wrapped up here in just a number of guys. And I think that the rumors that came up today, not just for moving salary for Bryce Harper per se, but the fact that they'd be moving salary just to afford bullpen pieces, that to me is a bit ridiculous. What were your guys' thoughts when you saw that?
Go ahead, Cody.
I didn't really have much thought. I was surprised to see that Bud Norris was a possibility. Considering some of the things that he was in the media about last year, I just don't think it's a good look if the Cubs were to go after a guy like him.
Well, they shut that down. That rumor has been shut down, so we don't have to worry about
has
that.
Has it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that makes me feel a little bit better. Other than that, I haven't really read up too much on the other relievers. But I have seen some like articles I just skimmed over, seeing that they are in on, or they're talking to different relievers. And I mean, I think it's good that they're doing that. Cause you know, they think that Morrow's not going to be back for, you know, opening day. So you kind of just got to hope that, you know, he can come back eventually, but you can't put all your marbles on him being the closer. But I think Strope is probably
sure.
going to be that guy. But, you know, they need some depth. And then, you know, it'd be nice if, you know, Dunsing and Kinsler can, you know, be better than last season. That would just add to what hopefully they bring in this offseason that's decent. Plus you got Shishak and Carl Edwards. So I don't think their bullpen is, like, the biggest. Like, a lot of them say it's, like, a lot of people I talk to, they tell me that it's bad. And it's, like, it's not bad. It's just I think the last 2 years has just gotten overworked by season's end. And it shows whenever, you know, the Cubs aren't able to, you know, get out of big innings without allowing a run late in the game. So, yeah, I kind of veered off topic a little bit, but I personally don't really know what a reliever that I would want them to go. I know they, you know, have checked in on Andrew Miller. I'm not really sure how I feel about him.
Yeah, I think he's kind of past his prime.
Yeah, I kind of think so too. Plus, he was hurt a lot last year. You could probably get him on a buy low, you know what I mean? Get him on a low, small contract, and maybe for 1 year, maybe he tries to like do a 1 year prove it deal or something like that to maybe get the money he wants for next year. I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking, but I couldn't really tell you what reliever in particular I would like them to go get at the current moment.
Adam, what did you think about that whole salary report thing? I mean, it doesn't seem like they'd be so strapped. To me, it just doesn't make sense that they'd be so strapped for cash they couldn't afford a reliever, even if it's not like a big free agent one. Do you think that's just kind of speculation or thoughts, or do you think there's any validity to that?
Yeah, I don't necessarily buy that. The Cubs have the cash to swing for bullpen guys. And as far as people freaking out about the state of the bullpen, this is not a situation unique to the Cubs. I think that's just the nature of bullpens in general, is that every single year, most of them need quite a bit of tinkering. That's just the way it goes. It's the one area on a team that changes sometimes significantly almost every single year. So it's not like the Cubs are the one team in this situation where they've got a lot of unanswered questions in the bullpen. And I think, you know, I could see them spending maybe more moderately on the bullpen. I think that's the more realistic route than dropping $350+ million on somebody like Harper.
So before we get into what they could possibly do to relieve salary, if they were to do it, I'm going to throw out a few names to you guys for bullpen arms and just kind of wonder what your guys' thoughts are on them. So the two names I have in mind that I think the Cubs could go after that I think would actually work out pretty well, David Robertson, Joaquin Soria. I think David Robertson, he has been consistently good throughout his entire career. He hasn't dealt with injury issues. He has filled the role of closer. He has filled the role of setup man. He's filled the role of fireman. He's very versatile in the bullpen, and you pretty much know what you're going to get from him. He's got a career ERA below 3. I think his career FIP is right around that. His WHIP is around 1. He's a very, very consistently good reliever. And Joaquin Soria, he had a really good year last year. And while he had a really good year last year, I think his age and history would still allow you to get him pretty cheap. So I want to hear your guys' thoughts on those two names.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not a whole lot to add to what you just said there. Both of those guys would be really great options for the Cubs, and I would love to see them go after those two guys, either one of them or both.
Yeah, I mean, I just pulled up Soria and Robertson on Fangraphs, and I mean, the age is essentially the same. Their numbers are they're pretty close as well. You know, so they seem like Cubs type guys that you could see them bringing in, and you know, what's nice is they've been fairly healthy. It looks like over the last couple of years, you know, Robertson's thrown 60 plus innings every year since 2010, which
yep.
I mean, that's when you know he's durable. And then Soria has thrown, looks like he's thrown, you know, over 50 innings since every season since 2013. So, you know, those are good signs. I would be completely fine if they were to go after those two guys or one of the two. Yeah.
All right, so let's go back to the salary for just a minute. I kind of read you some names that are in the top of the Cubs salary. There's a lot of arbitration guys, so I gave you the guys that we know what they're going to get. But Lester, Hayward, Darvish, Hamels, Chatwood, Zobrist, Rizzo, Quintana. If you had to move somebody, and we're talking realistically move somebody, so we're saying guys that we think can be moved and that could be moved realistically for better games, who would you guys think?
That's a good question, Alex.
I know it's tough.
As far as on-field play and clearing salary, it would definitely be Jason Hayward, I would think. With the exception of his defense, he would be easiest to replace with similar play, especially at the plate. The problem with moving Jason Hayward is that I'm sure the Cubs wouldn't really be clearing that much salary because I'm sure if they did find a trading partner, one of the stipulations would be that they'd have to eat a lot of that contract.
Of course.
So I'm not sure it's worth it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you got 5 years left on that contract. He's going to be making 22.5 this coming year. I would see no way how they would be able to relinquish all that salary, but I do feel like there would be a team interested in taking him. I don't think that he's completely, you know, worthless. Because, look, last year his batting numbers were respectable. Were they worth $22.5 million? No, but
no.
They were still slightly above average in terms of batting average and on base. Not dramatically over, but still technically over. And he's a gold glove player, a smart base runner. So there is value there, just it doesn't live up to that contract. So that's why you wouldn't get the entire salary taken. What about Ben Zobrist? Here's the interesting thing about Ben Zobrist. He is very important to this team. He has been, at least. But if you have your eyes on other players, you look at Ben Zobrist and you know you're not going to bring him back when his contract is done, and this is his contract year. He's 38. He's going to be making $12.5 million. Would you be tempted to move that? And I'm saying this as a huge Ben Zobrist fan, but I can't help but think that they'd at least entertain the idea. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, yeah, I think it would be smart. I think they would be crazy to not entertain the idea if they could find a suitor and if it made sense. I will say that it made more sense before all this Addison Russell stuff went down, because now there's a little bit, you know, there's this cloud over what the structure of the infield is going to be as far as backups and everything like that. And so now it looks like they need him more than they needed him 2-3 months ago. But, I mean, there's a lot of salary there. Obviously, Ben Zobrist is kind of in the twilight years of his career. I know he had a career year last year, but it would be insane to expect that again this next year. I'm not saying it won't happen, but you just can't count on that happening again. So if they Great. Could find somebody with interest in Ben Zobrist, I think it would be beneficial to at least entertain that notion.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cody, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Adam mentioned, you know, Zobrist had like a career year last year. I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, them managing like the amount of games he played in. I mean, I don't have the number of games played compared to last year in 2017 in front of me, but I don't know. I feel like he was just seemed more rested last season. I think a lot of people said that. I don't know what it was, but I think trading him, if there's any time to trade him, it would be right now, considering he's coming off a really great season. And, he's 37, he's going to be 38, whenever. You don't see a lot of guys put up the kind of season he did at that age. So I feel like his value has to be as high as it's ever going to be for the Cubs right now. So, I'm kind of with you. I like Zobrist as a player, as a person. We all know what he's done for the Cubs since he's came there. People like to throw shade at all the bad contracts the Cubs have, but Zobrist has been one of the best contracts that they have. But if they really wanted to clear space, I really think that moving Zobrist would probably be I would at least entertain the idea, and I would not be surprised if they actually did it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree. I'm also looking at the list, and the one guy that everyone wants to see traded is Tyler Chatwood. I don't think that anyone is taking on that contract, unless I think the only way we see it is if there is some rebuilding team that is a very low payroll that's willing to just kind of add some more fillers and maybe try to squeak something out of him. Because clearly Theo Epstein saw something in the guy last year with the sinker balls, mm-hmm. the movement, and all that good stuff. And what you saw was a bunch of base on balls. But, I think outside the possibility of him being moved to some rebuilding team, I don't see any contender taking him by any means. Unless
there's
he was
no
a throw-in
way.
In some bigger trade.
There's just no – whatever Theo saw in him, nobody else sees that now in the baseball. Who's gonna take him? I think the reality is the Cubs are just stuck with him. That's wishful thinking to believe that they could trade him. That's just not going to happen.
You're probably right.
And what's unfortunate is, like, Chatwood, he doesn't even really have a spot on the team right now. I mean, he's going to be on the team, obviously, but, like he's not going to be a starter. And then do you think they're going to – do they give him a chance in the bullpen to be, like a long reliever or –
maybe
sixth inning guy. I don't know. Like
short leash if they do though.
Exactly. Like you have a short leash, and then like if he doesn't do well the first couple tries, it's like, well, what do you do? That's the biggest thing with him, and how much it sucks on why they have to pay him this $12.5 million. It's like you literally aren't going to get anything out of him, and I don't think he's going to be a starter unless someone gets hurt. Let's hope that doesn't happen first off. But, I mean, the rotation is set, especially if Yu Darvish comes back and performs. I mean, that might be the reason.
On that one either, but I'm trying to be a little bit optimistic. I mean, can it really get worse for Chatwood?
Yeah, I've always just thought, if that guy could get some command, he could be really good. And I think we all think that. He just has to somehow stop walking people. And, he could be a serviceable pitcher.
It's a lot deeper than that, though. I mean, you could say the same thing of every bad MLB pitcher. If they had some command, they'd be good. I mean, that's basically like saying if he wasn't bad, he would be good.
Well, the thing is, though, I will say this. If you just look at the stuff, if you look at the way it moves, there are pitchers that don't have good command, that don't have good movement either. Chatwood may not have command, but the movement is kind of sick because when the few times he does put it in the zone, it's not getting hit. Or it's not getting hit hard. So I think I see what Cody is saying, because the pure stuff actually does look really good. He just can't locate it. I mean, you could have a 82-mile-an-hour fastball and not locate it. And if you located it, well, you're probably going to get crushed. if Chatwood located his stuff, he wouldn't get hit.
And that's kind of like what happened, like, I don't know, like the first couple months of last season. Like, I remember, like, everyone was talking about how many guys he was walking, but he had like a 3.5 ERA for the first couple months or something like that. I don't know. But
he would walk
like,
eight guys and he'd strike out eight guys.
Yeah, and he would always somehow get out of jams. It was really insane, and it's kind of why like the Cubs had that stat that they were like they had this huge winning record when Chatwood would pitch, and people were like, how? Because he got out of so many, you know, he managed to somehow get the Cubs four or five innings, and you know at that time the bullpen was, you know, pretty fresh and doing okay, but you know it eventually caught up to him, as it usually does for most pitchers if they walk that many people. And you know, we all know what happens, but that's why I said what I'm saying, though. It's like, you know, I think he has the stuff. I mean, I think his biggest problem is he can't command his fastball. Because if he could locate that more consistently, then that opens up the rest of his pitches, which like Alex said, like his movement on some of his pitches, it's actually really good. So I think that's his biggest problem, is not being able to command his fastball.
And it's not like he's a soft tosser by any means. He's throwing in the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah. It totally makes sense why Theo Epstein went after him. I don't know what happened between his 2017 season with the Rockies and last season. So, but like I said, like it's so hard to tell, like, what are the Cubs going to do with this guy? And, you know, the only silver lining of it is, like, at least they didn't sign him to, like, a six-year deal. It was only a three-year deal. So, I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic. It's just hard to be when you don't even know what the Cubs are going to do with him, like, if they were to keep him. Like, I have no idea what they should do with him.
Well, I think right now all you can really put him in, if you were to start the season right now, he would basically be in the bullpen, and you'd call him in for garbage time. Whether you're up 10 runs or you're down 10 runs, that's when he'd come in, essentially.
Yeah.
Well, depending on what happens in the spring, I think they'll give him at least a shot, a short-term shot, to be something more than that. But at this point, I'm expecting nothing, and any good innings the Cubs get out of him, I will consider just a bonus.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, they're going to give him a chance in spring training to start, so.
For sure. And like you said, like, you can't really hold your breath on Yu Darvish, so who knows. But I would rather, you know, have more hope for Darvish, considering the Cubs have him for 6 years. And
you need Darvish to be good. There's no question.
For sure. So that's why I'm trying to be more optimistic about him, because this guy got a lot of flack for, you know, people said that he just didn't want to play, he lost all his mental, it was all mentally in his head, all this stuff. And I would love nothing more than to see this guy come back next year healthy and, you know, put together a solid season. I'm not saying put together a number one, like a number one starter type year, but like, give me like a number two or three starter type year.
I suppose. I mean, you're paying him, maybe that's realistic, but you're paying him like a number one. I'm going to expect to see a lot of number one outings. That's just, I think that's fair. But the other thing with Darvish is, let's just say for the sake of argument, because it's looking like this anyway, the Cubs don't get Bryce Harper. The Cubs don't end up getting Bryce Harper. If Yu Darvish does not pitch this year and this whole thing just goes down the toilet, that I can't even describe how mad Cubs fans are going to be that they're paying Darvish all this money to have pitched 50 innings, and then they don't come away with Bryce Harper. People are just going to be livid about that. And maybe rightfully so, maybe not. I don't know, but it just doesn't look good.
Right. No, I would totally understand why people would be frustrated with that. I will blatantly say that I would be very, very upset if you know, if Darvish can't do what he is paid to do and, like, is hurt again next season or just, you know, I don't know. If he's
–
like I said, I just want him to be serviceable. I think the Cubs would have probably won 100 games last year if Darvish would have just been in the rotation and been serviceable.
I think serviceable is a fair expectation at least to start, but if he can do that, he better damn well at some point become at least close to an ace for this team, because that's what they got him to be. That's what they're paying him to be. And I'm not saying he should just come right out of the gates and be prime Yu Darvish again. That would be crazy. I don't expect that. Right. But I think that if he does come back fully healthy, he's going to need to be better than number three.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I think the way you're paying him, the way you brought him in, I mean, you didn't bring him in to be a low-end starter. You brought him in to be towards the top. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you there. So Mark Gonzalez just tweeted this on Twitter. He said, Jed Hoyer said it's unlikely the Cubs make a deal by the conclusion of winter meetings. So a lot of nothing from the Cubs so far. Looks like it could be a lot of nothing when it's all said and done. Now, unlikely doesn't mean certainty, but I think at this point we could all just say, don't get your hopes up to see anything big within this week. I mean, there's been nothing to indicate that they do anything else. Yeah, you're not going to say what you're going to do, obviously. You're not going to say, you're not going to reveal your cards, but I think that there are really no signs right now that anything is even close to being done.
Yeah. I mean, on the bright side of that is, like, other teams aren't really doing anything big either. I mean, besides McCutchen signing, you know, the Patrick Corbin signing, the Nationals did, and that was the winter meeting weren't even happening when that happened. I feel like the Nationals, they just wanted to get out ahead of things because they probably believe that Harper is not coming back to Washington. You know, I can't really blame them for that. So I don't think it's going to be like it was last winter where we were signing Darvish a week before spring training, but I think it's just going to be a little bit of a longer process than we thought.
Oh yeah. I don't think I don't think Harper or Machado are going to be signing anytime soon.
Yeah. I don't know when they'll sign, and I don't really know who they're going to sign or what team they're going to sign. Because it's all just, like, so many rumors in the air, and you just don't really know. I won't count the Cubs out, but I won't hold my breath either.
Man, do you guys really buy that the White Sox are top contender for Harper? Because I'm not sure I do.
I do. They got money
yeah,
to spend.
Yeah,
but
they have all
forget,
kinds of money.
He can get the money somewhere else. You really think he wants to play in that dump on the south side?
If he gets the best offer, yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I think maybe he prioritizes a World Series over money.
Like,
because he's going to get boatloads of money no matter where he goes. So I would think he would want to go somewhere that gives him a solid chance to win the big one. And the White Sox are on their way, but they're far from a lock.
Right. I feel like if he were to go to the White Sox, it'd be like kind of like how the Cubs got John Lester. The only thing is like there's like no connection, like John Lester and Theo Epstein. Like there was obviously a connection there from their days in Boston. But like I don't think there's any kind of connection with Harper and the White Sox. The only thing I can think of is like, okay, they probably sold all their prospects on him, and then the fact that he loves Chicago and he makes it very like clear on social media, like he was just at a Blackhawks game like a week ago. He obviously is friends with Bryant, all that stuff. And he makes it obviously seem like he loves the city. So like maybe the only way that I can see him doing is if they're just like, if they completely sell him on like their prospects coming up and, you know, some of the young players they already have on the team.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if he gets the right offer, I think that he would take it. I think the White Sox getting Harper is not as far-fetched as people think. I think there's a good chance he does end up there.
That would be so boring. Oh, my God. That would be terrible.
And do you really think the White Sox want to see a guy they want go to the North side again? I mean, I think they would do everything they can to try to get him, unless Rick Hahn steps in and says, look, we want to spend this, this, and this at this time. That's the only way I could see probably not. But I just think if they have plenty of money to spend and they make the right offer, don't be surprised if he goes there.
Well, they better if they got him, they would need to keep busy too, because Bryce Harper is not enough for them to be World Series contenders as they stand right now.
Right. I mean, like I said, they would have to sell him on the young players and like a hope for the next couple of years to like be there. But yeah, it wouldn't make any sense considering, you know, he's been on the Nationals and like, you know, besides last year, they made the playoffs for a couple seasons, but were unable to get out of that first series. So, you know, he's like craving for that, you know, that championship. So, I mean, it wouldn't really exactly make that much sense unless they really sold him on it. I mean, I don't know. I personally think if he goes to the White Sox, he cares more about the money than he does his legacy.
Well, like I said, money talks. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. There's one more thing I really wanted to talk about, and that was the Brendan Hyde stuff. We heard yesterday that he was going to be hired by the Orioles, and then people were saying, well, it's not really guaranteed, yada, yada, yada. Kind of weird how the Orioles are carrying this, but they are the Orioles. So, you know, that's all I got to say about that. But Brendan Hyde's gone, then they're going to need another bench coach. And there has been a certain name that has been brought up. I'm sure you all know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Long story short, do you think David Ross is going to be here, yes or no? What do you guys think?
No. Maybe at some point, yes, maybe. But this next year, no. He just retired. So, I mean, he just got away from the grind of a full baseball season. And I think he's got a good gig with ESPN doing analysis. I don't know if he's still doing that. But I just can't see him right after retiring jumping back into that again.
Interesting. What do you think, Cody?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see it happening. And I feel like it's very, very low chance. I mean, the thought of it is I find it very intriguing and interesting. And, I would be completely fine if they were to give him that shot, because I feel like he wants to be a manager one day, but he just wants to do it on his own terms. I just don't know if right now is that time. So, I mean, maybe because it's the Cubs, he would, you know, give it a shot, because, you know, majority of the core from 2016 is still there. So being around the same guys might intrigue him a little bit more. So I wouldn't say it's not possible, but right now I'd probably lean towards probably not happening.
All right. Well, I think I kind of overall feel the same way. There's a whole debate of, would David Ross be a distraction for Joe Maddon? That whole narrative, if he's going to be a lame duck and they got their, quote, next manager in the waiting, is that going to be a distraction? The way I see it is, if you're a professional, you're not going to let that be a distraction. That's just the way I see it. Maddon's been in this game for such a long time. I don't think he would let that get to him. Now, that's just my opinion. I don't really know. But I think if Ross wanted to be here and the Cubs saw some value, and that the fact that having Ross on the team might be good for the team in general, I don't think that they would let the possibility of a, quote, distraction get in the way. I mean, maybe it would end up being a distraction. I don't know, but I don't see it being as much of a distraction as some people think it would. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, I agree with you. I can't see Joe Maddon being bothered by that at all.
Nah, I don't think he'll be bothered by any either. I think if anyone's going to be bothered by it, it's just going to be the fan base, because, you know, the media is going to try and, you know, talk about it after every loss. Or if the Cubs go like on a 5-game losing streak or something like that, people will start questioning if Maddon's going to get fired in season or something like that. I'm just throwing it out there off the top of my head. Like, I don't think anyone internally is going to be bothered by it. I just think I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, someone in sports media tried to create a story out of it, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some sort of narrative there by the media. It's going to exist right off the bat if they do, in fact, hire David Ross. I mean, there's a constant narrative right now of Joe Maddon being the lame duck manager. And, you know, he's trying to say that that's not going to get to me, that's not going to get to me. But a lot of people still bring it up. If David Ross comes in, then, yeah, there's going to be a huge narrative among the media. But I just don't think it's going to let him, Joe himself, let it bother him. That's, again, that's just my opinion. We'll see how that goes down as well. You know, until our next show, the way things are going, I don't know if we're going to talk about a lot of other moves by the Cubs here because nothing sounds really close. But, again, we don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. They tell us one thing, maybe they may be working on another. Is Bryce Harper interested in the Cubs? Maybe he is. I could see why he would be. Is he going to wait out for the Cubs? I don't know, like we said earlier. This Bryce Harper thing is going to drag on for a while until he signs somewhere. It is going to take some time, and frankly, this offseason has been nothing but torture. So let's just hope we hear some good news soon or some news of any kind, because there are plenty of moves to be made and there are plenty of things that the Cubs can improve on. And though people are afraid they're not going to do anything, I still don't see them just doing nothing. But let's also remember that not doing anything just doesn't mean not getting Bryce Harper. They can do something without getting Bryce Harper, right? Yeah. You would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
we just prefer Bryce Harper.
I'm not on the edge of my seat. Yeah. We all want Bryce Harper. I think most people do, but I'm not really on the edge of my seat this offseason either because the Cubs have enough as they are to compete and contend. So I'm not too worried about it. It's not like they need one giant piece to get them over the edge. They've already got what they need in place. They just need to do a little tweaking.
I think if you ask me their biggest need in addition to, you know, I mean, we need their offense to be better, but part of that is going to be the guys that underperform stepping up. What I think is an absolute need right now is what we talked about earlier is the bullpen. I think that is an absolute need.
The bullpen and infield depth, I would say, are their two biggies.
Sure.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, and then I just don't know what they're going to do with Addison Russell. That's something that we have to wait out this entire offseason. I think we could all agree that, you know, we would prefer him gone, but it just doesn't seem like that's what they're going to do right now. So, you know, if there's going to be any distractions with the Cubs next year, it might be him. But, I mean, yeah, infield depth, you know, if, you know, I know they got that guy. Where was he from? I can't remember what team he was on. The Yankees. I mean, there's some depth, probably defensive replacement type. But, yeah, they definitely need to add another guy and, you know, maybe an outfielder depending on if they were to trade anyone else. So I guess we'll see.
Absolutely. Well, we are just about out of time here on Climbing the Ivy. Adam, Cody, I want to thank you guys for coming on. Let's hope we hear something within the next week. I would love to just hear something, even if it's claiming a guy off waivers, even if it's a small trade. I want to talk about something because the one really somewhat significant move we talked about, the guy was just non-tendered and now he's on another team. So, yeah. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it and hope you join us next time. He's Cody. He's Adam. I'm Alex. Have a great night.